welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
A month or two doesn't go by without some topic that deals with diabetes, a huge problem in the United States. Today, you've chosen a poem published in one of my favorite journals, PLOS, the Public Library of Science, in their medicine journal. It was published in 2016. We'll get to the exact reference in a second. By way of background, important to understand that there are some studies that suggest that sulfonylureas are associated with poorer outcomes, particularly when given after a myocardial infarction. Since most studies have compared cardiovascular events in sulfonylurea-treated patients with those who are taking metformin, it's uncertain whether the increase in relative risk for cardiovascular disease is a result of some toxicity or effect of the sulfonylureas, or perhaps is it a protective effect of metformin. We're not really sure how the toxicity would work, but it may be related in some way to the effect of sulfonylureas on the ATP-dependent potassium channels on cardiac cells and in coronary vessels. It's possible that the presence of sulfonylureas at the time of an MI prevents adequate coronary dilation, and thus perhaps results in a larger area of myocardial damage. But, you know, it's not fair to judge all sulfonylureas, and maybe they're not all alike. There is some data or some suggestion that some of the newer sulfonylureas are selective for pancreatic sulfonylurea receptors as opposed to cardiac receptors. And all of this leads to the context for the study that you're about to review with us from PLOS. Published in 2016, it's in volume 4, and it's electronic, so I can't give you the page number. It asks the question, are the newer generation sulfonylureas associated with bad outcomes in patients with type 2 diabetes?
Yeah, this was interesting. And the previous meta-analyses have raised these concerns, and some, like the old university diabetes trial that used first generation sulfonylureas found some increased cardiovascular harms. So in this study, they said, okay, well, let's just look at the second and third generation drugs. So to remind, and I'd look this up, so second generations are the gliburides and glipizides, a few other ones that are less well used. Glimepiride is Amaryl, and that's sometimes considered second, sometimes third generation. So it's these newer drugs that are really the ones that are in widespread use today that we're talking about. Glipizide, gliburide, and glimepiride. So they looked at two databases, Cochrane Library. They tried to find randomized trials in diabetics comparing one of these drugs or the addition of one of these drugs to placebo. They looked for unpublished studies, abstracts. They did a really careful search. All the studies had to be at least a year long, and they all had to report either all-cause or cardiovascular mortality. So the outcomes we care about, and the outcomes that are at least certainly all-cause mortality, not subject to interpretation or outcome, assessment kind of biases. If reported in the study, they also gathered data on MIs and strokes. Most of the trials were only interested in, measuring glycemic control. So a lot of times these outcomes weren't reported by the studies. 36 of the studies didn't report these outcomes. So that sometimes they tried to find the original data, but they weren't really too successful. They also excluded studies that compared sulfonylureas with drugs that have been withdrawn from the market. So these are studies comparing a sulfonylurea with another drug or with placebo. They evaluated potential for biases, they did all the usual meta-analysis stuff. Finally, they did a trial sequential analysis, which is allowed for them to look at the overall power and also dampens the potential for the impact of having multiple analyses and multiple outcomes. Ultimately, here's the bottom line getting to here finally, they included 47 trials with 38,000 patients. There were 890 deaths, so relatively small number of deaths out of those 38,000 patients. Trials lasted anywhere from 1 to 10 years, generally moderately good quality. In the end, they found no difference between groups in those who did and didn't get one of the newer sulfonylureas in terms of all-cause mortality, cardiovascular mortality, MI, or stroke. When they looked at only the studies that lasted at least 2 years, still they found no difference. They felt that there was a the when they did their analysis, they found that the data were powered to find at least a 0.5% absolute difference in outcomes. So let's say 3% mortality versus 2.5% mortality. So they would have been able to detect that small of a difference, but they didn't. So they didn't find any difference. So I think this is a really important issue, and this is may not be the last word on it. I think it does highlight the need for, you know, I would love to see a trial where we take patients and put them on metformin, and those who aren't adequately controlled, let's say their A1C is still over 8 or 8.5%, then they get randomized to one of these new SGLT2 inhibitors that cost $400 a month versus, you know, glyburide or glimepiride or one of the newer sulfonylureas, and not just look at blood sugar, but actually look at mortality. And I hope someone is with a lot of money is thinking about doing that study. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be funded by the drug companies. I'm positive it's not going to be funded by the drug companies. So hopefully NIH or somebody in Europe will be doing this study.
So just a quick question, Mark, about ethics. Given that we studied these 38,000 patients and found that these drugs are safe, maybe even safer than the first or second generation sulfonylureas, is it ethical to do the study that you're suggesting and randomize people to get these newer drugs versus the older drugs?
Well, I mean, I think that, yeah, I think it would be really important because, you know, there have been a couple of studies. Jardiance was shown to have a small reduction in mortality, but not totally insignificant in very high-risk patients. I think a non-inferiority trial comparing a sulfonylurea to one of these new drugs would be really important, given that they're so much more expensive. You know, we're talking $5 a month versus $400 a month. Mm-hmm. If the older drug is just as good and as safe, then I'm not sure that you know, we should be spending all that extra money. So I do think it would be a reasonable trial.
My last thought is I'm wondering why insurance companies, with something like diabetes, where there are just such a huge amount of patients that they're paying for, mm-hmm. why they don't get together and create a research fund, you know, to look at these questions, where the drug companies have one sort of bias. Clearly, the insurance companies might have a different bias, but mm-hmm. if they got together and did these kind of studies, it would be enormously helpful.
Yeah, I wonder if I think that's a great idea. I wonder if they feel like they might run the risk of being criticized or that the study wouldn't be taken seriously because of who funded it, you know, in the same way that we're critical of drug company funded studies, but we still, if they're done well, look at their results. So, right. Yeah, I think that'd be a great idea.
Okay, Mark, thanks so much. Very interesting study. We'll talk with you in a week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.